in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll be starting in verse 6. Title is Pride or a Humble Heart. I think pride in our hearts can lead to so much wrong. And I think everybody would agree with that. That pride has can really bring out a lot of bad. We can have pride in us to the point where we may feel superior to many. And what was happening, this feeling superior to others is found in school, work, and in the church. The church at Corinth, which is where we're looking at, and we've been going through this, was experiencing this to a degree that it was really affecting them greatly. They would judge the gifts of other believers, preachers, and so on. They were at that point. And there was a started division happening in the church. The Corinthians here were thinking that they were spiritually gifted above others. So Paul's going to deal with that today as we look. And so let's read today's scriptures, starting in verse 6. I have applied all these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, brothers, that you may... Hold on. I have to change batteries. I'll get them.
I did start to hear you.
Yeah, it's blinking. That tells me I'm messed up. Sorry. Give me 1 minute here.
Think about it.
Yeah, think about what I'm talking about here. Then I put the batteries in backwards. It's working good, folks. We'll try this again. Good morning. I apologize for that. I do carry batteries in there because it does occur at times. So I ask for forgiveness. I have applied all these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, brothers, that you may learn by us not to go beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up in favor of one against another. For who sees anything different in you? What do you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? Already you have all you want. Already you have become rich. Without us, you have become kings. And with that, you did reign, so that we might share the rule with you. For I think that God has exhibited us apostles as last of all, like men sentenced to death, because we have become a spectacle to the world, to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You're held in honor, but we disrepute. To present to the present hour, we hunger and thirst, we are poorly dressed and buffeted and homeless, and we labor working with our own hands. When reviled, we bless, when persecuted, we endure, when slandered, we entreat. We have become, and still, like the scum of the world, the refuge of all things. Wow. The Corinthians' attitude here really, really needed repair. They should not take pride in some and then turn around and despise others. And understand what's going on here is he's getting into the spiritual gifts. The Corinthian church was one church that was so blessed with so many of the spiritual gifts in so many of the people there. What Paul's been saying about himself and Apollos, he's wanting them to apply it to themselves. And this ties in with last week's message, and we need to understand that. I've applied all these things to myself. And Paul's talking about that. And he's talking about this puffed upness. And we need to understand that Paul, Apollos, they're servants of the Lord. They are servants of the Lord. Paul told them, hey, we're under rowers. If you recall last week, the under rowers were the guys in the belly of the ship that they rowed. They rowed. That's it. The captain, Christ, told him, row, you served him and only him alone. Apostles were servants. Slaves to the masters, to the master. And given responsibility to oversee the master's estate. Paul is teaching the Corinthians and all churches on how God's ministers, they're servants of the Lord Jesus Christ to serve. And they serve Christ as how Christ has called them to do and where Christ has called them to go. Not all servants are the same. Ministers serve as God has called them to serve and where. And that's what's got to be really important is that each and every servant of Christ goes where the master tells him, does what the master tells him. We all need to be careful, very careful, on how we view God's servants. God's servants answer only to God, what he tells them to do. Because it says here, what is written? What is written? When you look at that, he says that you may learn from us not to go beyond what is written. It is used to introduce the Old Testament quotations here. Basically, don't go beyond what's written word. Don't add to anything to the word. Don't subtract anything from the word. And if you look at the very end of Revelation, it's the last verse or second, it says, anybody who adds or subtracts anything from my word, you're in trouble, basically. You're in real trouble. And that's the way we are. Revelations, anything to the word, it has to be from the word of God. In this church here, the church learns to need not to go beyond the written word, the teachings of Scripture. And that's what Paul's telling the church at Corinth. How to treat God's servants and all of God's people. And we need to understand that. This is what Paul is really going with the church at Corinth. It's happening. He says, why? Because you may become puffed up. And that means to be inflated or puffed up like an airbag. Puffed up. It means don't judge God's servants. And we all have trouble doing this at times, that we can. And he goes into it like one against another. Well, this guy does this way. You're doing this way, and this one's doing it this way. It's however God calls each and every one to do that, and what they're to do, and how. Now, when we look at that, we don't want to judge the other servants. And that's an easy thing to say, but sometimes can be hard. Hard to say, and hard to do at times. So Paul is telling us this, and he says, for who sees anything different in you? Remember, he's talking to the church at Corinth here. What do you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? What's he talking about? When we look at this, he opens this, he says, it's pretty much a simple question. What makes you different than any other? God does. That's why all different types of God's servants are different. They appeal to different types, different people, different situations. If we're all the same, it would get real boring, probably. Really boring. And what would make the church, and he's saying, what would make you more superior in judging another? Who are you to judge? And Paul's getting on, who are you to judge this? And we all have to take that inside. We should not judge other servants and what they do. It seems that some in the church were boasting of their spiritual talents. And because of their position, Paul's saying, hey, you received everything from God. Why are you boasting about what God gave you? And when we get into it, he's just starting to here touch into spiritual gifts. We're going to get into it really heavy when we get into chapters 12, 13, and 14, where he talks about spiritual gifts. And it's going to get understanding, because I can tell you right now, there's a lot of misunderstanding of spiritual gifts. Lots. And I confess, I have heard people that have had a gift or what have you and think they're far more superior than those who don't have that gift. God's the one who gives it, period. And we need to understand that every spiritual gift that is given to you is given for one reason: glorify God, not to glorify the person who receives that. And does it occur sometimes that people think they're more spiritual than others? Ooh, I have heard that. I heard that once before by somebody when a group was saying, well, we're going to teach these people how to become more spiritual like us. And I went, oh my gosh. I was stunned by it. They need to read, like all of us, Corinthians. Hey, don't get puffed up. God gives you a gift. It's for his glory, not for yours. Paul answers that question by his response. What do you have that you did not receive? Think about it. If you received the gift of tongues, prophecy, love, hospitality, God gave you that gift. So why would we lord it over somebody else or judge somebody else because they don't have it? I don't know. What is your spiritual gift? And think about this. You, all of us have different, maybe, spiritual gifts. But did you create it in you, or did God give it to you? God gave it to you. I'm hearing something there. Maybe it's me. I'll take care of that. So think about that when it comes to spiritual gifts. Did you create it? Or did God give you that gift? Well, whatever that gift is, God gave it to you. You could have a beautiful voice and be these, as you listen to the radio, that can sing and glorify God. It's to sing and glorify God. It's not to glorify the person. Whatever that gift is, spiritual gifts are given to that. Now, pray for a humble heart. Pray really for a humble heart. That any spiritual gift that God gives you, he's glorified by it. I tell you right now, we don't want the glory. We'd mess it all up. We want God glorified in everything. And I think this is important. And this church was going through awakening. And I see so much why this particular letter was written to the church. It can happen to churches really quick and really fast and really easy when this starts to occur. And you think about, if you were given spiritual insight into something, did you work it up, or did God reveal that to you? God reveals things. How many times have you read the scriptures and he'll open up something to you, and you may have read them for years, and then all of a sudden he'll open up something and you go, oh, I never understood that. I didn't get it. Well, it's not that all of a sudden you got really smart. God revealed it to you. Paul says, what do you have that you did not receive? If you receive it, why are you boasting that you didn't? Think about it. If we if we received it all, the blessings of life, the blessings of Christ and the church, why would anyone want to boast of being super spiritual? Humble your heart. Humble your heart. This is what the Corinthian church was doing, though. They were boasting in being super spiritual. Yeah. Paul's taking them and saying, hey, look, pay attention. We should never act superior to any other believer either. If God gives you a revelation of knowledge in something, or a revelation in something, share it, let God be glorified, and move on. Because it didn't come of your own thinking. God gave it to you. And that's what's important. God is the only one that can give spiritual gifts. You cannot think, okay, I want to be whatever. Be able to prophesy, be able to do whatever. You just can't say, I'm going to do this. It is a gift given by the Holy Spirit to glorify God. And God is that judge. He's the one who gives the gifts. Pride can become so very, very ugly. Put up for me Luke 18:9. Pursue love, or wrong one, should be Luke 18:9, please. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. I brought that up there because I wanted us to understand, this is the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And the Pharisee saying, look at me, God, look at all that I'm doing. And the tax collector wouldn't even raise his head. I'm a poor sinner. And I think we have to have the heart that we are sinners and that we're not super spiritual. God gives us the things and he's to be glorified and exalted. Look at Galatians 6:3 for me, please. For if anyone thinks he is something when he's nothing, wow, he's deceiving himself. We're sinners saved by grace of God. God is the something. God is everything. It is all God and all him. Us, nothing. And I feel that way. That God reveals so much to us, and we catch on and we can use it to glorify his God, glorify him. Think if you're witnessing with somebody, it's not your words you're speaking, it's God speaking through you, giving you what to say, what to share. Now it goes in verse 8, and I love this. Already you have all you want. Already you have become rich. Without us you have become kings, and would that you did reign, so that we might share and rule with you. What's Paul saying? He's telling the Corinthian church here, hey, you're acting as though you're perfect, complete, and mature. We're going to be growing in Christ from, let's start right now, through all eternity. There's not a point where we say, oh, we've achieved. Guarantee it. We'll never know as much as God. But he keeps opening doors that we go, wow, that's amazing, Lord. I'm amazed at that. Here the church thought, we got all we need. We've topped out. We got it nailed. No. And they started to judge people. Wrong. And they're reigning as the kings, and they have no help from Paul, as Paul has done is revealed things from God, because Paul was an apostle and God used him to reveal things to the church. I mean, he wrote 13 books of the New Testament. That's amazing. That is amazing. Paul's saying, hey, I wish you were reigning at kings, because then I would be reigning with you, because then the new heaven and earth would be here and we'd be with God. And you think about that. And we'd be walking humbly before God all the time. So we do want to walk humbly before God. I just think that the church here, as we see in Corinth, had been blessed tremendously, and then they started to think that they were above others. Never think that way. We never want to think that way. And so this is something that every one of us need to be careful about, all of us. That as God reveals things, blesses in certain ways, we don't get that puffed up feeling. It is all God. It's God who gives, and it's God who takes away. And we can't earn any of the gifts on our own, period. None of the spiritual gifts. And Paul is telling us this, for I think that God has exhibited us apostles, last of all, like men sentenced to death, because we have become a spectacle to the world, to angels, and to men. Paul's given his opinion here, guided by God, without a doubt. It says, we've been exhibited, which means more than exhibited, or seen. What you have here is Paul's, in relation to talking about this and how he's doing it, he's given us the picture of, back in those days, the doomed gladiators. The gladiators that would come in to either fight other gladiators, or they would fight the lions, the tigers, all that kind of stuff in the arena. They're all doomed to die. They're doomed to die. And that's what Paul's saying the apostles were. Hey, we're made spectacles to the world. We're doomed to die. Apostles, God's servants, are to serve the world at no matter what the cost. No matter what the cost is, Christ's servants are to serve him. No matter, you know, and I think about that with so many people that are called to go into areas in the world where their life is on the line for sharing the gospel. But they go. They go because God has called them, and that's where they're going. Being spectacles before the world, you're to endure. You're to endure. You have no choice. You are serving the master. And that's why I say God's servants serve him and only him. Go and do what he tells them to do. They have no choice. They have been ordained to carry out God's mission, to share into all the world. And that their mission has been given to them by the king. So no matter what, like doomed gladiators, they go. Now what Paul does here next, he says, he kind of gives a comparison to the apostles and to the Corinthian church there. He says, we're fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You're held in honor, but we're in disrepute. He does a comparison. And what's sad about it is the comparison is the prideful church and the humble apostles. The dishonored apostles. And he does it from the viewpoint of the Corinthian church. The apostles are foolish, weak, and disrepute. The Corinthians, wise, strong, held in honor. Oh my, put it for me, Luke 9:23, please. And he said to them, if any would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. This is what Jesus said. When you pick up your cross, you're going to be crucified. You're going to death. Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow Christ. Wherever he takes you, goes, he's the king, he's the master, you go. And also, if you recall, just as Cindy had said earlier, it is the joy that was set before him, us, when he was on the way carrying his cross. He's on the way to be crucified. Put up, please, Galatians 2:20 for me. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Do you live for yourself, or do you live for Christ? When you live for Christ, it's Christ living in you. You're going to pick up that cross. You're going to follow Christ wherever he takes you. And as we look at we go on here, and Paul really goes into this descriptions of what happens. To this present hour, we hunger and thirst, poorly dressed and buffeted, homeless. We labor, working with our own hands. When reviled, we bless. When we persecute, we endure. When slandered, we entreat. We have become, and still, like the scum of the world, the refuge of all things. He goes into really describing the hardships that he and other fellow Christian workers go through. And they suffer through it. They truly do. He says this very hour he's hungry and thirsty. Hungry and thirsty. And I was wondering, when he wrote this letter to the church, I wondered when was the last time he had eaten or had drank anything? I'm not sure. I wondered about that. Yeah. Do we really realize how blessed we are, and how really blessed we are, even in this country? We're really blessed. We really are. You know, when I think of the apostles and so many of the people back then, they didn't have the nice clothes like we have, and a home, or they're hopefully hoping they could stay somewhere out of the weather. And when it says here that they're buffeted, that means they're beaten. They're beaten. Now, there's a difference between being beaten because somebody's stealing or something from, but they were beaten because they preached Christ. They were beaten because they followed Christ, not because somebody's trying to steal their money or rob or whatever. They're beaten because they preached and followed Jesus Christ. They preached Christ, and they were beaten often for it. When you go through and you read the book of Acts, and I encourage you, you're going to see it's a constant. Well, they flogged them and then sent them on their way. They beat them and sent them on their way. It's just over and over. Paul goes on to show in his second letter to the Corinthians that he's also under attack from Satan. Yes, Satan's real, and him and his demonic forces attack, and they can attack hard and heavy. Put it for me, 2 Corinthians 12, please. This is Paul speaking. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of revelations, the revelations that he would give the church, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul says, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. A thorn in his flesh. We do not know what that thorn in the flesh is. We don't know what it is. We have no idea what Satan has done to him. Satan does attack, and he attacks at times. And it can be extremely, extremely hard. But here we look at this, and you know, it's funny, as I was preparing this, I had heard many of pastors teach on this and go, well, when Paul saw Christ on the road to Damascus, if you recall, he became blind for 3 days. And they had to go and pray and move it, and they said maybe it was an eye illness. But no, when I was looking and studying, I was, no, because the light of God blinded him. This says a thorn was given from Satan. So it's not, I think, what that thorn is, I don't know. But it was something not good at all. And this can happen. Satan will actually attack, and not only attack, he'll condemn you before God. He will condemn you before God. I remember it's been quite a while back where God had actually told me, Satan's in here condemning you, Greg. Oh, okay. It's not fun. Paul says, we labor. We're working with our own hands. Paul works so he wouldn't be a burden to the church. Paul never took anything from the church. He worked. Even though Scripture says ministers are be taken care of by the church, Paul didn't allow that. He didn't want to be a burden to the church. He would do whatever he had to make sure that he was not a burden. But not all ministers, many have to work outside the church to pay their bills. I just read an article this last week with the things that are changing in the demographics in this country. I forget, it was like they were expecting over 15,000 churches to close up because mega churches were taking over. Mega churches are about the only ones that can pay a pastor anymore. Small churches can't. Just isn't there. And I thought, wow, things are really radically changing. Well, Paul was a tent maker. Bless you. So Paul had to work. He worked to provide. It also says, when reviled, we bless. Reviled means that they're attacking with words. They're cussing at him. I've endured that. I've had that. Paul says we return blessings to them. When you're cussed at, reviled, we want to return blessings. When persecuted, we endure. Paul's saying we endure. The word endure here means to remain steadfast, strong, faithful under all hardships. You stand strong. Yeah, it's tough. It's hard. I will admit that. It's very hard. But faithful to God and His mission for us, you stand on it. And I hope everyone does that, because you're going to go through attacks and tough times. When slandered, we entreat. Entreat means to ask earnestly or to plead in urgency for God for that person. So that person that slanders you, you are not just to pray for them. You are to pray earnestly for them. You are to plead on their behalf for them. No matter what they do to you, you're to do that. You're praying for all you have on behalf of a person who's slandering. You're praying it all, everything you got. And we need to do that. And you may find it, you know, I got to get this right because it just came to my mind. When somebody does something wrong to you, and you decide, well, and you're going to hand them a, how'd that go again? Darn, I'm sorry, I've kind of lost my, yeah, you're handing them the hand the poison, and then you drink it, expecting them to die. That's what it is. Yeah, it's without forgiving somebody, it's like you drinking the poison and expecting that person to die if you don't forgive. That's how it goes. And thank you, God. What I'm saying is, if somebody's done you something wrong, if you don't forgive them, you're the one that's going to hurt. You're the one that's going to hurt. And so I hope I got that across correctly. And the last section of this verse, we have become, and still, like the scum of the world, the refuge of all things. Wow. I wish I could have known Paul. Talk to him. What an awesome man. Apostles were considered the garbage of the earth. Ministers of God. But to be an apostle, you had to physically see Jesus. Had to physically have seen him. So like Apollos and all these other Paul, they physically saw Jesus and what he went through. Many ministers today go through some very hard times. But I want us to all understand that we're all ministers in one way or another. We're all called to share that gospel. So, you know, you think about when you come into church, you're ministering to each and every other person as you come in here. And it's really rejoicing to see warm, heartfelt welcomes going on amongst you. That's really, really makes me Please, very much so. Because we're all shared to share that gospel. And you may have had some of the things listed here happen to you. So I'll give you what Jesus tells us. So if you've been persecuted, you've been slandered, you've been a lot of this. Put it from Matthew 5 for me, please. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Because you're a Jesus freak. Because you follow the Lord. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Oh, they, prophets were having to hide, if you read the Old Testament, hide, they're in caves. I mean, it's, so you're just like one of them. Jesus said, you're blessed, though. You're blessed, because that happens. Well, we're going to celebrate communion time. A time of rejoicing what Jesus did for us. And I think it's one of the greatest things that can ever happen, is to remember what he did for us. He died for us. So that we can have everlasting life. What a great thing. As we hand out the bread, take the time to reflect on what Jesus did for you. How much he loved you.